Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Common Memory Issues in WebSphere Application Server. Today's presenters are Thomas Ayrton, Giri Parakusham, and AJ Malodia. Thomas, Giri, and AJ are all IBM certified WebSphere system administrators and working in technical customer service area supporting WebSphere application server for over 7 years. They have in-depth knowledge in using WebSphere application server, but specialize in SDK performance tuning and out-of-memory issues. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Thomas, Giri, and AJ.
Hi, thanks, Joseph. So welcome to our tax day presentation. This year, I got my taxes in early. I got them in yesterday. So this is the first time I've ever had them done before the 15th. So that's kind of a goal. Good news for me. Anyway, let's hope this presentation isn't quite as painful as doing your taxes. Anyway, can we have the next slide, please? So today, we're going to have a little brief overview of out-of-memory errors, what they are. We're going to have a quick look at two common Java heap memory issues that we see in WebSphere. And then we're going to run through an example of what you actually have to do when you're working an out-of-memory error problem. When you see one, what do you do? What do your developers have to do? What IBM support can do to help you? Anyway, next slide, please. Three. What is an out-of-memory error? There's two main types of memory problems which will throw an out-of-memory error. The first one is Java heap exhaustion. That's if a Java object cannot be allocated on the heap. The other one is a native memory problem, if there's no more memory available for native code to allocate into. That's like C or C++ code, calling malloc or new, depending on if it's C or C++. There are also other events which can throw an out-of-memory error. But these are not very common. It's like class loaders is a common one that we do see of these, but really we do not see too many of them. The JVM can also throw an out-of-memory error if it detects excessive garbage collection. This is pretty handy because then we'll get a heap dump generated when the out-of-memory error is thrown, and we can see what was on the heap causing the excessive garbage collection. But today, we're only going to look at Java heap issues. Okay. Slide four, please. What is a memory leak? A memory leak is when memory has not been released after it's no longer required. The most common one we see here is objects being put into a collection and then not being removed. And these include hash maps, hash tables, vectors, array lists, and other such Java collection objects. Slide five, please. What is a memory footprint issue? A footprint issue is when memory is being required by the application, but is for valid reasons. But there's just not enough memory on the box. There's not enough physical resources. This will also cause an out-of-memory error as the memory is running out. It's just not caused by a leak. It's caused by more resources being required. It could be that your application is generating some huge reports. You know, maybe you've got some 50 meg PDF files being generated. Well, you won't be able to do too many of those until your heap is full, and that's more of a footprint issue than a leak. So next, we're going to look at a couple of common memory issues that we see in WebSphere and what we can do to eliminate them or at least reduce the impact of them. And then we'll go back and take a look at that specific memory issue and what we need to do to determine the code. So next slide, six, please. So here we're seeing a heap dump fragment of an out-of-memory that was caused by some session data. So what the number is on the left side, the big numbers, that is the amount of memory being referenced by the object to the right and all of its children. The second number is the number of children, and the next column is the actual name of the class that that object is an instance of. So on that very first row, we can see there's, you know, 534 million bytes being used by com IBM WS Web Container HTTP session memory session context. And we see that it has 17 children. Now, the next child is using the most memory is almost as much memory as the memory session context. So the memory session context is not a problem. But here we see we've got an HTTP session, and then we've got a simple hash map. So hash maps are one of the things we like to look for because it's one of these collections that tend to have too many items added into it. The next row, we see an array of JavaUtil hash map entries. The JVM will actually implement a hash map with an array object. So this array we're seeing is actually just the JVM's implementation of the hash map. And so on the left, we can see that it's using 534 million bytes, so almost 512 megabytes of memory, and the 1777 is the number of children it has. So the number of children an array has is going to be the number of elements. So in our case here, we got 1,777 elements in that array. So if we want to convert that to English, we can look at the next little paragraph, and we would have, in this case, we have just over 500 meg of memory being used by session data. There are 1,777 sessions alive, the largest being just under 1.5 meg. So next slide, 7, please. So here we have another example of session data, and we can see our session simple hash map. Now, in this case, it's using 840 million bytes, so 800 megabytes. And we look and see the array implementation of HashMap, and it only has 24, that red number. There's 24 children. So there's only 24 children in that array, but it's still using over 800 meg. And if we look at the first child, the first HashMap entry, we can see 58 million bytes. That's huge. And the next one's 56. So these are huge session things in there. So again, if we want to convert this heaped up fragment to English, we have the next little paragraph saying we have just over 800 meg of memory being used by session data, and there are only 24 sessions alive, but they're very large. Slide 8, please. With session data, there's two things we can do. We can reduce the number of sessions that are active, or we can reduce the size of each session. To reduce the number of sessions, we can just shorten the timeout. Session timeout, we can just shorten it down. This will affect users of the application, though, because sometimes people will leave their sessions open and not do much. And if they're thinking of leaving it open for like 20 or 25 minutes, if we drop the timeout lower than that, they are going to get logged off. We could cluster the application across app servers as well, which would reduce the number of sessions per app server and therefore the number of sessions on each heap. So the easier thing to do there is just to reduce the timeout. To reduce the size of the session data, the application is going to have to be changed. Because this is a huge effort, unless the session data is really, really large, we're not going to want to try doing this. We'll just try reducing the active number. So next slide, slide 9, please. Okay, in our first sample, we had 1,777 active sessions, and they're all pretty small. So in this case, we definitely want to reduce the number of sessions alive, and so we'd want to reduce the session timeout. That would be our best bet for in this case. In the second sample, there are only 24 active sessions. So we really don't have the option of reducing the number of active sessions, because that's pretty low. The session data was large, over 30 megabytes each. So in this case, we're going to have to go in and change the application to change what is being stored in the session. The application developers will have to see which session it is as well. So we might need to get some specific objects from the session data in the heap dump so we can get some clues for them to know which web module the session data is for. Then they'd have to look and see what they're all adding into it and if things that they've added in don't need to be there. Okay, next slide, slide 10, please. Here we have an example of some cache being used. This is the Dynacache. So the heap fragment is the same as before. The little numbers on the left are the size of the memory of that object and all its children. So we can see the first one is an actual class, not an object, of server cache. And underneath it, we've got a com IBM WS cache cache object. Now under it, we've got a bunch of linked lists, which are these cache entry LRU heads. So each one of those LRU heads is a linked list, is the head of a linked list, which is storing the cache data. So in the second fragment, just below that one, you can see we've got one of these cache entry LRU heads. And underneath it is a linked list of cache entries. So each cache entry is going to point to the next cache entry in the list. This makes it a little harder to find in a heap dump rather than a hash map or a vector or an array, but it's still, you know, memory being used in a container kind of thing. So next slide, slide 11, please. Okay, so to reduce the amount of cache, we're going to have to reduce the configuration for the cache. And we can just change the number, the maximum number of items that are cached. Now, there's settings in the admin console where you can just go and change the number, and if you're seeing too much, we'll just reduce it. If you have a more complicated cache spec, then you're going to have to go into a different place in the admin console and find out which ones are using too much for yourself. In WebSphere 7, there's a new feature where you can limit the cache size in megabytes, not just the count, not just the number of items cached. This makes configuring the cache much easier, because currently you have to say, oh, what if we cache 1,000 pages? How much memory is that going to take? And then you have to tune that to see how much memory is actually going to be used. And then if you ever change your application, the page sizes might change, so your cache size is going to change. So almost every time you make changes, you've got to go back in and configure your cache settings. So being able to just limit it by a number of megabytes is a real benefit. So next slide, slide 12. Okay, here's where we're going to go, and we're going to work one of an out-of-memory problem. What do we do when we see an out-of-memory? What kind of things do we have to look at to find out what's the cause? So we're going to go through a simple little application here. It's a recipe application. It stores recipes and allows for a search based on the title. So we're getting out of memories, but we don't know why. And so we got a heap dump. So the heap dump should be sent along with the other files requested in the out-of-memory must-scatter to IBM support to look at. Okay, so next slide, 13, please. So here's one of the heap dump fragments that we would see. And it's the same as before. The numbers on the left are the number of bytes that the object is holding and its children. So the one in blue there we see is a recipe list. The top is our recipe app. That's our application. And inside that, there's a recipe list. The recipe list has a hash map. So hash map is one of our key things we like to look for. And then we look at the next row, and we see there's 383,305 rows in that hash map, using almost a gigabyte. So that's a lot of memory, a lot of numbers there. So that is where our problem is. So next slide, 14, please. So after doing the heap analysis, IBM support will convert that to English for you so you don't look at that kind of thing. And you get an email with something like the following. So COM ABC food recipe list has a hash map with 383,000 entries using almost a gigabyte of memory. Please have your developers check and see if this is expected use for the hash map or if there is a potential leak. Let's go to slide 15, please. Since we know that that is way too high number of entries for our application, we need to investigate why the hash map grew so large. So, as a developer, let's look at recipelist.java, which is the one that has the hash map. So next slide, please, 16. So here's the source code for a recipe list, and it's not much there. It's pretty simple. In fact, there's only one method, and it's search, and we're looking, and there's no hash maps at all. We do see that it extends another class, class list, so we're going to have to look at that. So next slide, 17, please. And again to 18, please. Okay, so here's our list class. And you can see in red, we do have a hash map here. And we're calling it list with a lowercase l. So this is the hash map that we saw in the heap dump. That's interesting that it's not the same class name that we saw in the heap dump. And this is one of the things that can make finding some of these memory problems a bit tricky. So not only do you have to look at the code for the one class you saw that has the thing in the heat dump, you have to look at every class it builds off, every class it extends, until you find the hash map that you're looking for. It may even be more complicated because you may have multiple hash maps in these classes, and it's going to be real tough to find which one is the one that's actually growing. In our case, we just have the one hash map, and this is the one we have, so we're pretty easy here. We can see we have one method add, and that adds into the hash map list, and we got one method remove, which removes it. So we're just going to have to look and see who uses that add method. So next slide, please, number 19. Okay, so this is pretty much what we just described. We're going to have to search for all calls to add from any recipe list objects, because that's where our hash map is growing. If there are other methods that added, then we need to look for those. But since we only have the one, we're pretty safe here. So page 20, please. Okay, here's our main recipe app class, and we can see that we've got an instance of recipe list. We've got it declared as RL. So here's our recipe list that we were seeing. Now, if we look at the initialize method, we can see here that we're doing an add. We've got an RL.add, so we're adding stuff into the recipe list on that line. If we look around it, we're seeing it's in a loop, and it's in a loop doing it 500,000 times. Well, that's an error. We don't really want 500,000 of those being put in there in the initialize statement, so this is where our memory leak is caused from. So for us, it's pretty simple. We can just change the counter on our loop to something smaller, like what we expected, like 500. Then we would get 500 generic recipes added into our list, which we can then modify. The next slide, please, 21. Okay, so like we said in our example, not much searching was needed. There were just two calls to add, and one was in a loop, so it was very straightforward. In most real-world cases, though, the searching is going to take some time. We may need to add custom tracing into the application, printing out of call stacks to determine what code path is calling the methods which add. Also, the methods which remove are important, as if things are not removed, that's a leak. So you don't just always need to look at just who's adding, it's who's removing as well. The next slide, 22, please. Okay, system out print line is a handy way of adding temporary trace to an application. It writes out a line to the WebSphere system out log, and it prefixes it with a timestamp. So this can make finding the leak easier if the application does not have any existing trace or logging. So if you've already got trace in the application, then you can probably use that. But if there isn't any, you know, then this is one way of quickly putting it in temporarily, and then after the problem's fixed, you remove them. So this tracing can be quite handy to make sure there are the same number of removes and adds, because it's something we definitely want to check. If we're not doing enough removes, you know, that's our leak. So you can add a system out print line to each of the adds, each of the removes, and then you can trace them like that. You can even add a static counter into your class. And every time the add is called, you can increment it. And when the remove is called, you decrement it. And then you'll have a little system out print line to print out the value every now and then. And this will let you monitor as your application runs if the number of adds are building up higher than removes. So without this kind of trace, sometimes, you know, the developers are just going to have to search through the code by hand, and it can take a very long time to find. So these custom tracing can be very helpful. Okay, next slide, 23, please. Okay. So finding a memory leak can take a long time and a lot of work, but at least from the heat dumps, we can find an object which is using the memory. Then the developers of that code can use debugging techniques to determine the cause. Next slide, 24, please. So today, we've looked at some session data memory footprint issues and how to control the memory use on those. We looked at reducing the session timeout if we had too many sessions, and we looked at having to modify the application if our session data was too large, if each session was way too big. We looked at Dynacache and how to limit the amount of memory it uses. And then we worked to simple out a memory error problem see what steps we need to do to work through to identify the code causing the leak. Okay, next slide, please, 25. Okay, here are some of the references that we used for the presentation. You can look at those in your free time if you get your taxes done before today. And next slide, please, 26.
Slide number 26. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts, like the one you attended today, and access previously recorded presentations that were actually shown on the previous slide. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all the product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you.
I would like to thank you, Thomas, Gary, and AJ for a great presentation. At this point in time, Marsha, we would like to open the lines for questions.
First question comes from Balan Panini. Your line is open.
This is Balan Panini from AT&T. Since you have shown a slide which shows that the number of classes that are loaded within the JVM could be more, my question is, in Java version 4, we had set a limitation for XP and XK. In Java version 6, does this limitation have any effect?
Yeah, so in 1.5, they've removed the XK and XP options, which were for fragmentation issues in the class. In 1.5 JVM, the classes are now stored in native memory and not on the heap. So there's no need for the K cluster or P cluster areas on the heap anymore because the classes were actually moved to native.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from Ravi Kada. Your line is open.
Hi. Is there any way we can monitor this out-of-memory error from monitoring standpoint, like SiteScope or anything else?
Hi, Ravi. Yeah, there's ways to monitor for it. You can actually just monitor your logs as well because the...
Yeah, actually, we tried to do that and because it's overhead on both the... on the SiteScope server, so it crashed one time.
Oh, okay.
So we are not... So they advised not to do that.
The logs. Now, the one thing you do have to be careful about the logs is sometimes they'll show the class out-of-memory error.
Okay.
And so you didn't actually get an out-of-memory error. That class just either got loaded or garbage collected. So you have to be careful about that. But other than that, you can just monitor the system out and the native standard file.
Okay. Other than that, is there any way using the PMI counters? I see there is a heap usage and, you know, free memory, but nothing about this particular one.
So, Ravi, this is Giri here. I'm just wondering, do you want to get notified when an out-of-memory occurs and you want to take some action, or do you want to monitor the system for data collection purposes?
No, this is for, be proactive before it leads to any outage it might.
The only thing is you have to monitor the heap usage. If it's getting closer to the maximum heap, and if the heap usage trend is upwards, potentially there is a memory leak.
Using the PMI counter?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right, but there's no way you can preempt it or, get an alert right before out of memory. That's not possible if that's what you're looking at.
Okay. Thanks.
The next question comes from Mr. John Hurst. Your line will be open.
Thank you. Earlier in the presentation, you were looking at the when you had issues with sessions using up the memory. When you were looking at the hash table, you had some sessions that would say 50 meg or so. Is that the same figure that you would see if you looked at the session object size through the PMI stats, or are they totally different figures?
Yeah, it would be the same size. They might be a little bit off, but they'll be very close.
Right, okay. Thanks.
One question has just populated. Mr. Ben Hawker, your line is open.
Hi. You mentioned decreasing the session timeout earlier. Is there a recommended way of doing it? I think you can do it either in the application level or in the server level.
We always like doing it at the server level, just so that it makes it easier to monitor. But if you've got different applications where you don't want to affect the other, like let's say you've only got one application which has, you know, a lot of sessions, and the other applications on your server don't have as many, you might want to keep the timeouts different for each application. So in that case, then you'd have to do it at the app level.
And if you set them at the application and the server, does one take preference over the other?
The application one will take precedence.
Okay. Thank you.
Juan Ramon, your line is open.
Yeah, hi. I'm curious. We don't use session caching here at my company, but in the beginning of the presentation, you had sample data that you were showing where, you know, there was potential issues. That sample data, where is that retrieved from? Where are you getting that?
That's from a heap dump.
Okay.
So those PhD files, and they're usually generated when you get an out-of-memory error.
Okay. Thank you.
Balanan, your line is open.
This is Balanan once again. I have two questions here. My first question is, what I was asking you is that in case I migrate my WebSphere from version 6 to version 7 in a migration mode, I had set a JVM settings on version 6 for XP and XK clusters, and it's gone to the WebSphere 7. Should if I don't remove those, of course, the JVM no more holds those parameters, but if I keep them out there, do you think still it will reserve or it doesn't make any sense and it will scare because they are out there?
Hey, Balanan, Giri here again. Basically, those parameters were introduced in 1.4.2 to address the fragmentation issues because the class objects cannot be moved once they are created. Starting 1.5, the JVM has been totally rewritten, so there is no potential for fragmentation. If you still migrate it, those parameters get copied, but the JVM will ignore.
Oh, okay. JVM will ignore. Okay, thanks.
Yes.
My second question is, do you have any links for the best practice for Java 6? Like, you know, one thing is like this. If suppose somebody has put some parameters which doesn't have any effect, they can remove it. Or do you have any specific JVM recommendations like large object ratios if you see whatever you recommend? Is there any specific standard parameters do you recommend?
We like doing it just changing the heap size, leaving all the generic arguments alone, not putting anything in.
Okay.
So the default values in that JVM are pretty good. So they're probably going to be sufficient for you as long as you set your heap size. The heap size you're going to have to change because the default is just way too small.
Okay, thanks.
And probably you're also comparing with 1.4.2 where you have XLO ratio. In 1.5, the syntax is a little different and you may not need it. By default, it's the JVM sets aside a large object area.
Oh, okay, thanks.
If you look at the verbose GC snippet, you'll see two snippets there. It says SOA and LOA.
Oh, okay.
Small object area and large object area. And for whatever reason, if the large object area is not getting used, the JVM will dynamically resize them so that the space doesn't go wasted.
Okay, so if that is the case, your recommendation is remove all your XK and XP parameters. Doesn't make any sense. And also remove the LOB ratio because that is automatically managed in the Java 6.
Right. And I am sensing from our discussion, Bala, that your application might be creating some large objects which might be short-lived or short duration. So starting 1.5 and 1.6, we have different GC algorithms. So for your case, you might use Gen Con or other stuff.
Okay. Can I ask a quick question? Since you spoke up about Gen Con, we did use Gen Con. But there are some specific reasons, right, why you use GenCon, because IBM has given us some specific reasons for using GenCon. Is it useful for large object ratios?
No, but, I mean, again, you need to do a trade-off between pass times and throughput.
Got it.
Yeah, and in the 1.5.1.6 JVM, there's much better handling of large objects. So your best performance is probably going to be with no JVM arguments set.
Okay, thanks. I may have to do some testing. Thank you very much.
Yep. Exactly, yep.
That's one question just queued up. Jabil said your line is open.
Hello, yes.
Okay.
You just said the default heap size are too slow. What sizes would you recommend?
It's going to be dependent on your application and your load. Like different applications use different amounts of memory, right? And higher load is going to be higher thing. It also depends if you've got a 32-bit WebSphere install or a 64-bit WebSphere install. So normally if you've got a 32-bit install, we like to start around 1,024 meg for your heap and then either adjust it up or down as needed. And if it's a 64-bit, we like to start at 4 gig, 4096 meg, and see how it goes from there.
So the 1024, that's your max or that's your initial?
That's the initial.
Okay, and the max will be?
It depends, again, on the amount of native memory that the application is going to be using, but normally we'd like to go up to a maximum of 1536.
In my situation, I'm only dealing with two apps and two nodes in clustered environment. Right now, the way I have it is 256 and 512 or something, I guess.
So are you monitoring your Boost GC, Bill? Probably that's the best way to start because tuning is mostly iterative and depends upon one particular environment, you know, and if you have clusters or just one app server.
Did you say, am I monitoring? You mean through PMI?
Or verbose GC data. Yeah, either
right.
One of them.
Right.
Yeah, there's a verbose garbage collection trace, which you can enable with a checkbox in the admin console on the Java page. So that'll print out statistics at every garbage collection. So that'll let you know if your heap's getting a bit too full or not, and if it's causing any performance impact.
What file format will the garbage collection print out? Where do I look?
It'll be in the native standard error.log file.
Okay.
But it's going to be pretty ugly. So you can either send it in to IBM support, or you can download one of the tools which are used to view that data graphically.
Uh-huh.
You can read it, but it's kind of ugly.
One more question. I don't know if this relates to this topic or not. In order to start up WebSphere from a reboot, does someone know about scripts that I can use? I'm using a Linux box.
Are you familiar with the WSAdmin scripting, Bill, or Jython scripting, depending on which version you're running WebSphere?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I mean, just to let you know, in the Info Center, there are a lot of examples for the common tasks. Or if you need some links, just ping me or email us. We'll get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
And currently no questions have populated.
Thank you, Masha. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.